Welcome to Beyond the Arc. I'm Phil Nasons. He's Kevin Life, and we're here to talk Memphis Grizzlies basketball. Kevin, what's happening?
How's it going, man?
It's going fantastic. I must say, a big shout out to MemphisFlyer.com for presenting this show, putting up with me for all these years. I do appreciate it. And a big shout out to you, dude. You made the cover of the Memphis Flyer.
I did. My big season preview, what I think is going to happen this year, game by game. Not really. We were talking about this a little bit off the air, but usually I have to share. We just do one basketball preview issue, and it's kind of a split cover between Grizzly stuff and Tiger stuff. But this year, because the season moved back so far, Tigers and Grizzlies really start playing about a month apart. So it didn't make any sense to do that. So I got the whole cover hold to myself.
That's awesome.
About 2,000 words of basketball in there. So
I would hope that you send me one with a nice little signature on it. I would appreciate it.
I can mail you one.
I see. How about that?
But if you lived here, they'd be free.
Well, you know what the thing is I've had tried to, actually, as you know. When I find a job there, I will. Because I love Memphis, by the way. I love Tennessee. I love our listeners, man. I got to tell you, they're very loyal. And that's such a cool thing. When we looked at the numbers this week for possible sponsorships, it was staggering, huh?
Yeah, I didn't. There's a lot of you out there. I just didn't know there were that many of you. So
you see, it wasn't just one or two people. I tried to tell you this before.
I know. I just thought it was about 14 people.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm not a stats-driven kind of guy. And if we have a big show, I tell you, but most of the time I don't. I mean, what's the point? We know what people do. You know, podcasts are like, they say, well, you don't ever get any comments. Well, you know what we do? We get emails. Because mm-hmm. most of the time people listen to radio and listen to podcasts in their cars, whatever, and they don't have time to comment on the blog, but they comment to us, and more importantly, they listen, and we're really thrilled to have you all here with us for Dylan Brooks' new era, the Grizzlies, the Dylan Brooks, I can't believe I'm saying this, the Dylan Brooks era has begun, Kevin.
Yeah, I mean, that was quite a debut. So last night against, I don't have the stat line in front of me, but he really stuffed the stat sheet.
Oh, yes, he did. I had him at FanDuel. Can I give you his numbers real quick?
Yeah, let's hear him.
All right, he played 29 minutes of basketball. He was 7 for 13 from the field. He was 0 for 2 from 3, 5 for 7 from the free throw line. He had 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 steals, 2 blocks. He had a couple turnovers, and he had a couple fouls, but a plus 17 for 19 points. The Dylan Brooks era has begun, Kevin.
Yeah, it's been a while since a rookie has played this well. I mean, you know,
or
historically.
Or even played, for that matter.
Well, yeah. last year Fizdale played some guys.
I'm talking about the former regimes. This is why I like David Fizdale. He's my dude, as you know.
Yeah, it's very, historically, it is not normal for a rookie to even play on opening night at all.
Game 42.
Dylan Brooks is just, he's a basketball player, man. He came into camp and blew them away. I heard all these kind of rave reviews from front office people and kind of the coach, and everybody was just raving about how good he looked in camp, how well he was doing. And he played really well in the preseason games, but, you know, it's preseason. You can't really, I don't put too much stock in what happens in preseason. It's a good indicator of kind of where guys are at conditioning wise and that kind of thing. But he really looked good, and he carried that over into last night, and he played even better in the regular season game than he did in the preseason. I mean, he was great last night. He was so good, really. You know, James Ennis started the game at small forward, and I think played like 18 minutes. He was so good that Fizdale just left him out there.
And he should have, and he did. And you know something? I like him. He's a good player. He's very aggressive, too. You know, he's smart. I kind of appreciate that. And I said to myself last night, I said, I'm definitely going to talk about Dylan Brooks, because 3 years ago, we wouldn't even ever talk about him because he'd never see the floor. This is what's different about this organization, dude. So we have lots of positive things to talk about tonight.
I know, it's unusual.
Highly, yes.
Yeah, no, but I think, you know, look, he's going to have bad games. He's a rookie. You know, Saturday night against the Warriors, he might play 18 minutes and do nothing, but that doesn't matter. He's a rookie, you know. For him to show this kind of promise, be able to hold his own out there, certainly New Orleans roster is kind of a disaster at the small forward spot, so he wasn't doing this against the league's toughest lineup, but still he's doing it against real NBA team, you know, in a real competition. So I'm not saying it doesn't matter. It was very impressive. And, you know, I kind of hope, I've been on the bandwagon kind of since the start of training camp, but I hope fan expectations don't get out of hand for this guy. Grizzlies fans are in a weird place right now. And I hope there's not, you know, I hope that when he does inevitably have those bad rookie games, that people don't get too down on him, because, you know, the upside is there. It's huge.
We won't get down on him here because we understand these things. And that's what I hope too, because I'm pretty excited for him though. He looked pretty happy out there. He looked very confident. I think sometimes that helps. And I know that he was going up against maybe a lesser backup team, second string, whatever you want to call it. But damn, doesn't matter. He had a night to remember, a debut to remember, unlike, say, for example, another small forward for the Memphis Grizzlies during his debut. Whoever do I mean?
Well, you know, honestly, you're talking about Chandler Parsons, but the truth of the matter is, and I was told this straight up by a Grizzlies executive, he's not a small forward anymore. He's a power forward.
All right.
He is not fast enough. Especially defensively, he is just not fast enough to play small forward anymore.
Yeah, but who do they pay though, Kevin?
They consider him a small forward. Yes, they absolutely did. You know, I think just the reality of the situation now is they just want him to be productive. Period. They, you know, they just want to get something out of him. And get him on the court and get him playing and producing and just filling a spot in the rotation. They just want to get something out of him at this point.
And they did.
Yeah, last night, rough start. You know, obviously he's really rusty. His confidence is really shaken. And it took him a while to get going. This is, you know, we've been talking about this forever. They booed him. Grizzlies fans always seem to wait until a guy's confidence is totally broken to boo him in a home game. Yeah. Parsons didn't take well to. He kind of had some comments after the game about how if that's how it was going to be, he was just going to treat every game like a road game.
Was probably helpful.
It probably wasn't helpful, but it doesn't mean he's justified in being mad about it. It was stupid. But after kind of a slow start, he got going. He was defending Anthony Davis really well. He was making some plays. His shot didn't look short. You know, his problem all of last year and all of preseason really is everything was just hitting the front of the rim. He still wasn't jumping. He still didn't have a lot of lift, but his shot was on target more. He hit some shots. He got into the lane and kicked it out to Conley a couple times. You know, some missed assists, you know, where Conley missed the shot, but still the play that Chandler made was good. He played really good defense. You know, honestly, it was encouraging just to see him on the floor running, playing basketball and helping out. You know, if his body has degraded to the point where he's the backup power forward, then I hope that he's the best backup power forward he can be. You know, it's not his fault he's hurt.
No, it isn't his fault he's hurt. It's the Grizzlies' fault for signing him.
Yes, absolutely. I totally think fans should be upset that they signed him. I don't think it's fair to be upset at him. I mean, if they offered me $94 million, if they offered me $94 million, I'd take it too.
But they already did, and you turned them down so you could get the cover of the Memphis Flyer.
It's true. It's true. I'm in the lucrative publishing industry now.
I think so. Yeah, I'm ready for a job, by the way. But but honestly speaking, we have to get this out of there too. JaMychal Green, man, I tell you, that was not nice. And now he has the Grizzlies PR or whoever does this. They sent out a tweet or whatever, something. I don't know. I saw it earlier today, but he has a high ankle sprain and he's not going to be playing for a few weeks. And I guess it's Jarrell Martin who's going to take his spot in the starting lineup, correct?
It seems that way, yeah. Based on what we saw last night, which, I wrote about this in my game recap piece. I don't really think it's fair to judge how Jarrell's going to do in that spot based on how he did against Boogie.
Yeah, how about that?
You know?
That isn't even fair because people, okay, you look at the box, you look at the score, 103-91, you got, well, it's the same Pelicans team. But those two guys, Boogie and Anthony Davis, are a couple, two freaking monsters.
Yeah.
And they work everybody like that. It isn't just some kid who came off the bench in an unenviable position. They work everybody.
Yeah, and they're the only guys on that team doing it. So
yeah, they have big double-doubles, man.
They do. So, yeah, so Jarrell struggled to kind of fill those minutes in the rotation. You know, the good news, honestly, I'm glad that's a high ankle sprain because the way he came down on it, especially after the Gordon Hayward thing, the way he came down on it, how long he was on the floor, how bad it looked like it hurt, you know, you fear a broken foot or worse. So I said this in my column. I was glad that when he got up and walked off the floor, his feet were pointing the right direction.
Unlike some people's, my God, I saw that Hayward thing. Holy cow.
Yeah, pretty terrible. But, certainly I'm not making fun of him for being hurt. That was terrible. But, yeah, I think, ankle sprains happen. It's part of basketball. A high ankle sprain takes longer. But in the grand scheme of things, they have kind of a tough stretch to open the season. So it's going to be a good test of Jarrell Martin, who honestly – heading into training camp was everybody's pick to be cut from the team, and played his way back onto the roster. I think it's going to be a good test for him. We'll see where he's at.
Yeah. I think that's a very good point too. Brandon Wright. I like Brandon a little more than Jarrell, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know how they work together with, he works together with Gasol. I don't think it is the same kind of dynamic, is it?
It's weird with Gasol because one of them's so fast and one of them's so slow. You know, they haven't had too much playing time in games together because Wright has been hurt so much. They don't really have much of a two-man game in the way that Zach and Mark used to. I mean, nobody's ever going to have that kind of a two-man game again, probably in the whole league.
No, because they never stay together long enough.
Yeah. Well, and just nobody plays basketball like that anymore.
That's true, too.
But yeah, I think there's just their chemistry's a little off. I like Brandon better with that second unit because they're so, you look at them. This is a very athletic, very young Grizzlies team. The closing lineup last night was Conley. Brooks was out there. Tyreke Evans was out there. And then I guess Jarrell and Gasol.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a very athletic at the wing. Very small, kind of very space-oriented pick-and-roll Grizzlies team. It's very different from what we're used to. So I think Brandon Wright is a big piece of that, especially with the bench unit, because he's so fast. He's so athletic. He played really good defense in the second half. He got worked in the first half and then came out in the second half and played better. But, against Boogie and Anthony Davis, you're going to have those nights. I really think he's a pretty important piece of what this team can do. And I say that as a guy who thought they should trade him this summer because he's on a cheap contract,
Right. Yeah, that's high praise coming from
him. And now I'm seeing the value of having him on the team. So, I just hope he can stay healthy and contribute all year long. That's always been the thing with him.
Well, that's just it. Well, we'll see, But speaking of athletic wings, Tony Allen's number got retired last night, correct?
They didn't hang it in the rafters. They just did like a tribute video for him.
Okay, because they're going to, though.
Yeah, I think they're going to wait same with Zach. I think they're going to wait till they're like retired to actually hang him in the rafters. But they have issued the statement that like no one's going to wear number 9.
No one should either, by the way.
I agree.
I miss him already. It was fun to see him. I had a difficult time watching because, as you know, Kevin, I had some internet issues in my building. And unfortunately, I had to try to catch it on data. And then I was trying to listen to it on the radio. It was horrific. But I'm going to miss Tony Allen. I'm going to miss Zach Randolph. I talked about that last time. I didn't really talk a lot about Tony Allen. But he was one of those guys. I mean, old school all the way. And I don't know how much he's going to help that Pelicans team. But one thing is sure, I kind of feel like there's a void there. And I know we have to move past the grit and grind era, and I'm trying to. But you just don't see guys like him anymore. And it's a pity that he had to leave.
Yeah, it's I don't really know where to start. You know, it's
I miss
like,
his emojis back to me on Twitter when I would praise him.
Yeah, I miss his direct messages telling me he wasn't faking; he was really hurt.
Yeah, or his in your face messages.
Yeah, you know, it sucks to see a guy basically reach a point in his career where he's not helpful to the team anymore. Because he was so much the personality and the identity of that, of the whole run. You know, I think we can safely call that a different run from whatever's happening now. Whether, even if they make the playoffs this year, it'll be a different thing. You know, his presence with Zach, both of those guys are so tough and so, so crazy, you know,
crazy, yeah.
You wouldn't be afraid to pick a fight with this year's Grizzlies. And for the last 6 or 7 years, the Grizzlies are the one team in the league that you did not, you know, that just wasn't even on the table. Except that one time John Henson tried to fight Matt Barnes, but Matt Barnes is crazy.
Yeah, Matt, that was, but you know what, that was.
That was a little too much in that direction.
But seriously, though, I still remember that, man, watching that. I go, where is he going? He just disappeared into the tunnel. Yep. My gosh.
Yeah, you're running after him.
Oh, yeah. Well, he you know, it's kind of funny. That was like a hidden metaphor there because he ended up running after him in Sacramento, so it doesn't matter. Oh, madonna mia. But, yeah, Tony Allen was special. And it's
he
a
was,
pity
and
that he's not there.
Yeah, it is. You know, it was a special thing. It was a special time. You know, they showed a tribute video last night in the arena on the big screen. After the first quarter, and it was kind of, you know, 3 or 4 minutes. It wasn't very long, but it was kind of telling the Tony Allen story. It was all these clips of Tony Allen. It was him saying all heart, grit, grind for the first time. It was in that Warriors series where he stripped Clay and laid on the floor and said, first team all defense. You know, it was kind of all the greats. They even had the clip where he didn't know where he was and walked through the kids' dance team performance that time. in Oakland, but you know, it was very emotional, but the fans were emotional, and then they had to go out right back out after that video and start playing the second quarter. You could tell Tony was crying, you know. It was
well,
an
he
emotional
loved playing for Memphis.
Yeah, it was a very emotional night,
and that was a good thing. Yeah, it was emotional, and I got a win. So here's what I can say, Memphis Grizzlies fans, you are 1-0. People predicted you, including your old friend Phil here, to not make the playoffs, but yet you have a better record than the Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
And the Golden State Warriors.
And the Golden State Warriors, who are in town Saturday.
In town Saturday, and you get to watch that, and I will probably not. I think I'll listen to it because I think the Cavs are playing too, but I'm not sure. But it doesn't matter because they are coming to town. And, you know, people are talking about this Houston Rockets team, and the Grizzlies have them on Monday. But, you know, I watched that game on my phone. And I must say, that game was crazy because they had the ring ceremony. And they were off to a kind of a sluggish start. Swaggy P, you know it's a special night when Swaggy P is your leading scorer at halftime. So that kind of says it all right there. I think that the Golden State, and people are saying, "Whoa, the Golden State Warriors, they're beatable." Of course they are, but I guarantee you.
Yeah, the Grizzlies have always beaten them.
Always, especially in their own barn. And
yeah, they
beat
them
things.
Last year with like 10 guys.
Well, that's just it. And the thing is that they can be beaten. And if anybody's going to match up with this team, I would say I would prefer to see Jamichael Green out there to kind of help out with Durant. But, goodness, I think that they can beat this team. And yeah. I think they might. You know, that West Coast to the East Coast trip, that's tough.
Yeah. you know, JaMychal is pretty durable. I think this is the first time in a long time that they've played the Warriors without him. And I think last year, that game where they beat them in Memphis, a lot of that was JaMychal shutting down Durant. It wasn't Tony Allen shutting down Durant. It was JaMychal Green. I really think they're going to miss him because now they're looking at like putting Jarrell on him. What are they going to put Chandler Parsons on Kevin Durant?
Chandler Parsons better go play with the cheerleaders.
You know, maybe they'll luck out on Wayne Selden, who's been nursing a quad injury. I think it's a quad. He missed the season opener, projected to be the starting two guard by me anyway. But Harrison's starting in that spot right now. You know, I think if Selden is back, Selden is a guy who stepped in the playoffs and played really good defense on Kawhi Leonard, having played 18 NBA games ever before that, counting preseason.
Right.
And stepped into the playoffs and guarded Kawhi Leonard really well. So if they can get him back by Saturday, which I'm sure is their goal, you know, maybe he can guard Durant. He's very long. He's very big for a two guard, kind of like Tony Allen. So, you know, maybe that – I just don't know, because if he guards Durant, who guard – you know, Ennis, I guess, could guard Clay. I guess you could put Harrison on Steph if you're feeling risky. Harrison has played really good defense to start the season. I think at one point – I think in the preseason game where they scored 142 points on the Pelicans, I think at one point Andrew Harrison had a defensive rating of like 63. It was something
That's right.
Absurdly low. He's played really good defense to start the year. And I honestly think that's the whole reason he made the team is his defense.
Because he didn't shoot the ball very well against the Pelicans.
No, and his shot still hasn't come around. You know, he struggled with that all last year, but the way he plays defense, if he could even get that shooting percentage up to like 32% from three, he would be a very different player and a much bigger threat. And that's totally doable. He's only a second-year guy.
Right. I agree with that, too. The thing about the Warriors, though, is that bench is a lot better this year. They got better, I think. But it's still, it all comes down to, this is Mike Conley's team. That was pretty apparent on Wednesday night. And I think that it should be his team. I like the fact that they're pushing the ball up a little bit. I think that behooves him more.
Yes.
I think that he sacrificed. See, this is one of the things I've gotten into some art. I know this is good. You'll find this hard to believe. But I get into some arguments sometimes about this basketball thing here, especially Mike Conley.
You?
Nah, me, never. I know. I know you're shocked. I mean, your voice even went alto up there. but seriously, though, people talk about Mike Conley, and they don't think he was worth that money and all this and that and 100 other things. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, maybe you just don't realize that Mike Conley sacrificed a lot.
Yes.
To be on a part of that era, because he had to sacrifice his body because they had to be grit and grind from 1 to 5. And there were no people backing away, because if you did, you had to deal with Zach Randolph and Tony Allen, and people don't understand that. People who don't pay attention or don't cover them or whatever. And now he's getting a chance to kind of show what he can do. And yeah, I was really impressed with it. I was impressed with his shot the other night. What was he, 4 for 9 or something?
Something. Yeah, he ended up with the quietest 27-point night I've ever seen out of him.
Oh, sure.
You know, everybody, there were so many other good things happening that, you know, Conley just had, he had this one, I think Matt Moore tweeted it, he had this one like hesitation dribble he did on Boogie, and Boogie just froze like he was a video game character. Like he just froze.
He's not a video game character.
He did get a technical foul while his team was shooting a free throw.
That's never more seen that shocking before. Than me getting in an argument.
Not that shocking.
Oh man, I miss doing this show with you, I tell you. But, you know, seriously, all things considered, this is Mike Conley's team. And yeah. I think,
well,
Mike,
you know,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
Lionel Hollins always thought Conley was a fast player. You know, he always said that he wanted to push the pace. He said this a lot, said he wanted to push the pace because it would suit Conley better, and they couldn't. You know, they had to play. I'll never forget. Hubie Brown is the one who put it to me this way. He said, you know, the three best players on your team determine how you can play basketball. And so when the three best players on the team were Conley, Gasol, and Zach Randolph, there was no way for Conley to really play his game because his game is very speed-based. His game is very aggressive. His game is very kind of wide open. He's a very good passer, I think an underrated passer. And he had to kind of be a game manager and a layup maker, you know. He was not the guy who took the last shot, but I don't know who the best three players on this team are. It's Conley, Gasol, and
whoever
somebody.
Gets hot the next night.
So, yeah, it's somebody.
It's not Chandler Parsons.
It's not Chandler Parsons.
But he's getting paid for that, though. That's why they boo him, Kevin. See, I'm going to be with the people this year. I know it was stupid to do that, but I understand why they did it because I've been pretty hard on the guy, too.
Yeah, I get it. Even David Fizdale last night in the press conference was like, look, I get why he's easy to hate. He's got a ton of money. He has women all around. He flies in Lear jets to places all over the world. He's a very hateable guy. Even David Fizdale said that.
Of course. And then here's the thing. But here's the thing, though. If he were able to play, and I know that's not his fault. That's the Grizzlies who signed him's fault. I can't wait to see the PR email from this one. But at the end of the day, he's the guy in front of them. And they're going to boo him because he can't get done what the front office thought he could do.
Yeah, he's not. He was definitely put. The expectations were placed on him that he just physically is not able to meet.
And I don't think he's ever going to be either. But it was encouraging those 15 minutes. But you want to speak about fast. Houston, Monday night. Houston likes to push the ball up a little bit. Now, this is an interesting thing, too, because Chris Paul hurt himself against the Golden State Warriors. And he scored 4 points, I think, that night, and they still won. But it's a weird dynamic in Houston because you've got Chris Paul and James Harden. They begin the game together. Then they stop playing together, and then they kind of play together at the end. So there's always one of them on the floor. And you really see two different teams. You see three-quarter speed with Chris Paul because he's actually trying to push it.
Yeah.
And then you see that fly, run, shoot, gun, whatever with James Harden. And he's got this Ariza kid on the wing who shoots the ball nice. And this pick-and-roll thing they got rolling around with Clint Capella, and that's going to be – he had a tough time against the Warriors because they play that death lineup. But the next night, he played really well. And he'll do really well again against Memphis. He'll be on the floor a lot, so you're going to see that too. Yeah. And then you got Eric Gordon who comes off the bench and scores. This is going to be a very interesting test these next two games.
Yeah, I think the Houston one, honestly, because they're in the division and those games are going to matter. I think they play Houston four times by the end of November. They play Houston a lot early in the season.
We got to watch the beard four times and Chris Paul.
Well, you always got to watch them four times, but usually it stretches out over the season.
Yeah, like you know, two games here and two games in May.
Yeah, and so they really struggled with them in the preseason, and that was a preseason game where both teams were kind of playing real rotations. I think the Grizzlies, especially if Ariza is going to shoot the ball as well as he's doing, which he was just lights out against the Grizzlies in preseason. I don't know what shooting coach he's been working out with or what, but he is really, I've never seen Ariza shoot quite that well.
It's called being so wide open because they can't double team James Harden anymore.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely a big part of it. You start to see why they went after Chris Paul, even though it's maybe not the best basketball fit. I think the Grizzlies, honestly, I think they're going to really struggle with Houston. I just don't know how, especially with JaMychal Green out, and he's going to be out. I just don't know how they defend Houston.
Well, you want to see, this is the problem, is you're going to have to slow everything down to do it. And that's not going to be easy. And that doesn't benefit Mike Conley. So you're just going to have to see what happens. Houston's playing good right now, but then I didn't expect them not to. So it should be an interesting test. And the Golden State, I really hope that the Grizzlies knock off Golden State on Saturday. Because I want to get, you know, because I have a very special fan base from the Golden State Warriors, as you know. They still are after me about that tweet I sent out about 3 years ago when they showed up at the queue for the finals. And I tweeted out a flock of peacocks, was it? I guess that's what
I don't remember. It was something like that.
It was great, though. I said, the Warriors have arrived at the queue. Holy crap. And they're all looking at our badges to see who did it. I thought that was hilarious, but
Nice.
it should be fun, dude. It really should. And Kevin's writing again, believe it or not. And we're really excited about this season. 1-0 already. This is perfect.
This might be the most positive we are all year, knowing the way this show usually goes. But honestly, I feel like we've turned the corner, right? The things that we've been talking about needing to happen for 2 years on this show, of starting over and finding out what the next thing is going to be, we're here.
We're
You know,
here, and we're here.
we're here, and we're watching it, and we're all going to find out together what this team is going to be. You know, we've talked about this. I love young teams that are figuring it out. I like watching that. I liked it when the Grizzlies were that team. Obviously, I love the playoff run too. But you know, I have an OJ Mayo jersey. You know, I like the young teams trying to figure it out. That's interesting to me. You learn a lot about who these guys are by watching them in that phase of their career.
All right.
I'm excited about this season. I think they're going to win about 44 games.
Okay.
I think they'll finish somewhere, maybe as high as seven, but probably ninth. I don't know that 44 wins will be good enough to make the playoffs. But I don't really care. Like I'm excited about the, even though I think they're probably going to miss the playoffs, I'm excited about this year. I just think it's going to be really fun to watch what this team looks like by the end of the year.
You say, what did you say? 44 wins? Is that my cue to give you mine?
Yeah. Let's see. I know
41.
you have it. You tried to give it to me last year, last week.
I was going to, and I held off. 41 and 41, 10th seed.
I think that's fair.
And it's not, and because you know what? I'm a big homer usually. I make some crazy predictions. But you know, when I look at this West, and I saw a little bit of Denver the other night. Again, man, the internet, when everything goes, the TV went off. I missed a couple games this week. But let me say this. When I say 41-41, I don't mean to be negative.
I
It's
think
just,
that's a successful year this year.
I would, that's what I mean. Thank you, because that's what I'm trying to say. And that you got a new team, basically. You've retooled, and you know, you made a couple signings that maybe are questionable. And maybe they come through, maybe they don't. You've got a couple of young guys to root for, like Dylan Brooks. And if Marc Gasol can stay healthy and play 75 games, and Conley plays 75 games, maybe they do win 44, 45 games. Maybe they do make that A seed. But see, I just can't see that yet. And 41, 41, I think I'm probably real close. I hope that I'm wrong. And if I am, you know, I'm sure you guys will find a way to let me know
You will definitely hear it.
I will definitely hear it. I tell you what, we'll be back on Tuesday night. We have a lot to talk about on Tuesday with Golden State and Houston. Then we got Dallas back to back. That's always fun. Lots of great things happening here at Beyond the Arc. We want to again thank MemphisFlyer.com for putting up with me for all these years, and Kevin, of course. But then,
Yeah, they put up with even more of me.
yeah, I know, yeah. But I'm a different kind of put up with, you know. And
I'd
we,
say
but
that's fair.
yeah, that's true. They we put yeah. I get emails all the time, man. We love the fact that the way you do radio, man. I say, yeah, that's see, I love these folks. And I tell you what, for Kevin Leip, I'm Phil Nason, and we want to thank you as always for listening to Beyond the Arc.